Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Well, good evening. We would like to welcome you to Stop Child Abuse Now talk radio show sponsored by NASCA, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. It is Wednesday, October 6th, 2021. This is scan number 2763. My name is Penelope Bennett, and I am from Bellevue, Washington. And on my host team this evening is John Anderson from Louisiana.
Good afternoon.
And yeah, thank you, John. And tonight is special guest night. We have a very special guest this evening. His name is Robert Kahn. He's from Fernley, Nevada. And before John and I tell you a little bit more about Robert, we wanted to talk to you a bit about NASCA and NASCA's mission. If you'd like to call in tonight and be a member of our panel, you'll have an opportunity to interact with our special guest, Robert, and ask him a question or offer a comment regarding what he's going to share with us this evening. John and I would highly encourage you to do so. Call in to 646-595-2118. Again, that number is 646-595-2118, and John will welcome you in on the back line and bring you into the show, and you'll have an opportunity twice during our show to interact with our special guest, Robert. But
okay,
as you know, thanks, John. John's got my back and everybody's back who calls in, which is I'm really appreciative of. We want to tell you a little bit about NASCA because, as you know, NASCA is all about child abuse trauma prevention, intervention, and recovery. We have a single purpose at NASCA. It's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. The first goal, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts, showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. The second goal, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, such as this show, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving recovery. So once again, John and I would invite you and encourage you to call in. No experience necessary to be a member of the panel. The number is 646-595-2118. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about our special guest, Robert. As I mentioned, Robert Kahn is from Fernley, Nevada, and he's going to introduce us to his Children's Safety book series. Currently, there are 8 books, and Robert developed a safety program, which he taught as a DARE officer with a county sheriff's department. Over his 16-year career, Robert told us, this program saved 44 plus, so more than 44 children from abduction. He states he was a sixth grade teacher and a reserve deputy sheriff. He became concerned with the problem plaguing young people. He was offered the DARE, which stands for Drug Abuse Resistance Education position, and the county he taught in, prevent children from making the wrong choices. So he changed careers from teaching to law enforcement. It was a wise decision. He says, considering the data on child endangerment, it is abundantly clear that more proactive education is needed. His books are written in a friendly way and explain how children can be safe when they are not with a trusted adult. The themes of his books include stranger danger, bullying, good touch, bad touch, don't hide abuse, suicide prevention, children coping with divorce, bicycle safety, and especially important in this month of October, Halloween safety. Robert concludes, children would know what to do in a dangerous situation, in dangerous situations before they are victimized. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. I love it. I bet John loves it too. We love it.
Oh, yeah.
So without further ado, Robert, I'm going to unmute your mic. And thank you. Thank you for being on the show tonight, and thank you for all that you do and that you're continuing to do.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate this. Thanks to both of you.
Bio, and thank you so much for putting in the time and providing that to NASCA, because it really is helpful in how we can outline the show this evening. And I feel like we don't hear enough on the prevention piece for young children. We don't see, in my opinion, as much curriculum in the schools about education and prevention. And I love the fact that, you know, you came from, I call the trenches, you know, being a teacher and really observing children. And you saw a need, and you became involved, and that's a huge switch of careers. And you were inspired to not only change your career, but write these books. So, you know, if you wouldn't mind maybe just taking us back to the beginning and just sort of how this all evolved. That would be great.
Sure. It all evolved as a fluke. I was interested in preventing child abduction from strangers. And so a counselor friend of mine said I could practice some at his school. So I went there one day, and in between my DARE schedule, I taught three or four stranger danger classes, and it was just in the baby steps. And I'm sure I wasn't very good at that time. And the next morning, the counselor called me, and he goes, "You'll never guess what just happened." And I said, "What?" He goes, "We just had an attempt here. Three children were at a bus stop, and a man approached them and tried to get them to go with them." And I thought, oh, no. And so I said, "What happened?" He said, "They did exactly what you taught them. They said no, they ran away, and they told the bus driver." So I said, so I went to our sheriff, and I explained the situation. And he said, "I want you to pilot a stranger danger program." I go, "I can't." I go, "I teach DARE 3 days a week, and I'm on patrol 2 days a week. There's no way I can do this." He goes, "You're off patrol." So that's how the program got started. And from there, it just blossomed and blossomed. And I eventually ended up teaching this program to officers in the whole state. And so they took it to all 17 counties in Nevada. So there's really many more than 44 saves. That was just our county.
Mm-hmm.
And the really sad thing is most attempts go unreported. So if an attempt happens, they need to call their local law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Well, we know an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I mean, there's no doubt that you know, all the work that you've done over all these years and from the books you've written, I mean, that has just been exponential. Absolutely exponential.
Right. So, and the thing about strength danger, it's uncomfortable for many adults to talk to their parents, to talk to their children about it. And that's what's nice about the books. The books are written in such a friendly way that they don't scare the child, but they educate them. And there's a question and answer in all of my books, too, at the end to make sure the child understands what they read or heard.
So let me ask you a question. So it sounds to me like with the program that you're going into school and it's more of a, it's not really a curriculum, it's more of a, maybe you come in and you teach a few things and then you go on to the next school. Because, I know the state of Nevada, it's a really big state, right, 17 counties. So can you maybe explain a little bit how that works?
Sure.
Is it a series of talks?
The way it works.
Yeah.
Sure. It was a 3-visit to every classroom instructional session, and I did it year after year. So they got it every year, and which really proved phenomenal because I had one girl, she was in the 4th grade, and she was approached. She did all the right things, and at the very end I said, so what would have you done if I hadn't been teaching you this the last 3 years of your life? And she said, I would have gotten into that person's car. And after I could regain my composure, I said, why would have you done that? And she said, because my parents teach me to respect all adults. And that's when I could write the first book. I knew I was missing a line and I wasn't ready to write my book, and she gave it to me. And so my program teaches them they're not being rude, they're being safe, and strangers need nothing from children. Strangers need to talk to grown-ups.
That's right. Wow. You've got the chills. Wow.
Yeah.
That is so
I've had some
profound.
Scary.
Wow. So we have actually more panel members that are joining us. But, you know, the reason I asked about the structure of the program is because, you know, I do think that we can't over-educate kids on all of these things that you've written about. And one and done is not, to me, it needs to be an ongoing conversation. Because I think, you know, these kids do hear the message. The time goes by. I think it's always good to reinforce, you know, and to consistently give them that message, especially if they're only getting the message at school and they're not getting it in other places, like you said, at home. My parents as well taught me to respect adults. So I was always to respect adults and err on that side of had an impact on me because it's exactly what I was taught. But I'm also happy to see that, you know, not only is there a message, but there's a consistent message. And these kids are getting it. If they're in middle school, we called it middle school, and they're in middle school for 3 or 4 years, they're getting it 9 to 12 times throughout those years. Now, you go in the elementary school as well. I'm only assuming middle school because you were a 6th grade teacher. So
Right.
Do you start?
I taught this school preschool through the 5th grade. I taught
Right.
it in the elementary school.
Right.
And the Stranger book is the one I recommend parents or grandparents or even the child just reads it like every 5 weeks to themselves to keep the tips fresh in their mind. The other books are wonderful, but they don't need to be read as often because these bad strangers that want to take children have lots of times to think of the perfect trick to try to get the child to go with them. And so I don't have all the tricks down, but I certainly have what to do and how to be safe in every instance.
Yeah. Wow. So such important work. And there's a lot of work around keeping our children safe. A lot of things that need to be discussed and a lot of things that need to be mentioned. I'm going to actually invite John to the conversation now. I'm sure he has a question or a comment for you before we continue on. We have another panelist. We have Sheldon from West Virginia. So, John, I wanted to invite you into the conversation with Robert.
Okay. How you doing today, Robert?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Actually, any time that I have a guest on or we have a guest on like this, it just makes my whole night, man, because this is exactly what I do every day of my life, too, you know. And to know that you're out here and you have been doing it for, almost 16, 17 years now is what I'm seeing. You know, that's pretty impressive, man. You've been doing it how long?
Yeah, I've been doing it a lot longer than that.
That's what I figured.
It happened in 1992. And although I'm retired now, I'll still go to Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, or whatever organization wants me to speak and give a... So it's been ongoing.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the things that I'm looking at everything within your Facebook pages and all of that stuff. And, you know, one thing I'm interested in, and I know there's not enough really time to talk about everything that you do, but one of the things I'm really intrigued with is the toys situation. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, the toys, sure. That I have an old 1963 Ford Galaxy patrol car. We call it Barney because it looks like the cars that the Andy Griffith show used. Yes. And toy is all the programs. It's teaching our youth safety. That's where the toys came from. Originally, when I bought the car, I was still a deputy and I could use the DARE. Well, once I retired from law enforcement, I couldn't use the DARE anymore. So that's how toys came into being.
Wow, that's unbelievable. You know, because right now, things that I'm doing, you know, because I'm from New Orleans area, right? We just got hit by a hurricane pretty hard. So if you think about it, you know, there's a lot of kids down here that have lost everything, totally lost everything, you know. And I went and visited some of them just recently. And I tell you, you know, the kids are good spirits down there. However, you know, you can sense a feel of, I don't know, like almost like abandonment in a way through the nature scene, because when they lost everything, I mean, they lost all their toys, they lost all their clothes, everything that was down low. I mean, technically whatever they had on their back, you know. So when they started to go through the recovery period, that's when I show up. And that's when I go down and check on people that I either know because I'm from down here, or I get a lead on a specific family. So I do try to give community support, you know, including with the parents along with the children, because I think that's one of the main important things that I'm getting from you is that bond between the parents and the children with communication, don't you think?
Right, absolutely. And what you do is phenomenal, too.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I spend every day of my life. I'm retired from my normal job, but I spend every day of my life protecting kids, and that's what I do. And I also help support, you know, families of all ages. And I was just telling Penelope recently that you know, we have a tremendous of younger people coming out these days with all kind of situations that have smaller children, you know. And I think what's your opinion as far as, like, when you go to talk about a child, like as far as, like, child safety goes with predators, okay? What is your opinion on how a family should have that talk with their kids, and how young do you see it? Because I see that you're taught around sixth grade, okay? So So that is a common, very common age where kids are experiencing these. So, you know, like mine was fifth grade, some were sixth, some were fourth. You know, it's all up in that area. So you have seen that prime age where predators, you know, tend to go after more. So what's your opinion on that?
Okay, I was a sixth grade teacher. I taught all these programs preschool through the fifth grade, because that's what our elementary went through. And by the time they're in the fifth grade and even sixth grade, I went into some of them, they had the knowledge of what to do. So it wasn't as important. Especially for the strangers, the main age group is third, fourth graders, because they do more things alone. Everyone thinks it's the small child that gets taken. They're usually with a trusted adult, although I have seen kindergartners walking to school by themselves. And so I was always happy that I taught everybody how to be safe when they went with a trusted adult.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
So
that's great to know that you're aware.
Yeah, that's a really great question. And, you know, I'm with you, actually, Robert. When I see a 5-6-year-old walking by themselves to school, even if it's a couple blocks, I get very nervous. It makes me very nervous.
They just
look so little.
Well, yeah, and they're so vulnerable. And, of course, everybody wants to help people. And so when a stranger goes, oh, I lost my dog, could you help me find it? Naturally, they want to help. And that's where these lessons come in, where those people need to talk to grown-ups, not children. They don't need anything from children.
So I'm actually going to bring Sheldon in, another panelist. He's from West Virginia. I just don't want him to be on hold for too long. I want to invite him to the conversation. I know we have a lot more to talk to, John. I have a lot more questions for you. But, Sheldon, your microphone, and I wish to welcome you into the show, and you are on with Robert.
Thank you very much, Richard and John and everyone, for letting me finally speak a word that I've been waiting 28 years to speak. I was abused as a kid. I know what predators look for when they're looking for kids. They're looking for broken kids that have losses, that lost a parent, that don't have anything to look forward to. Those predators give those kids everything to look forward to, and those kids love them for it. The kid to come out because there's so much love, because they never had love before. And I know this, and I felt it, because it's more than one person that it was only one person that abused me, but I could feel it through other men and women. And it really affected me, and I'm just learning this. I was a quiet kid for 28 years, and I'm ready to speak my word, and all the information I've collected over these years, I hope, will make a huge difference in what I'm going to say when I tell my story when I'm ready.
Yeah, so Robert, what he's saying basically is, looking for, kids that are broken, from broken homes, divorce, anything that comes with any type of other kinds of abuse, including, mental and emotional and physical and sexual, So what's your opinion on what he's saying?
I totally agree with him. I have started my bullying programs and my stranger programs and a lot of other programs, and suddenly we had our second child, and my wife flaked out, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. And it turned out she had been sexually abused when she was in elementary school. And so that's
sorry to hear
when
that.
I really started doing the good touch, bad touch, because I said, there's got to be something someone can do to help the child not go through this and they flake out later on. And so although it was hard to teach, it had dramatic results, and it saved a lot of children years of guilt of why was it me and what did I do wrong, when it turned out it wasn't the child that did anything wrong. They were just a victim.
I call them a diamond kid. because predators see these diamond kids in a school hallway. Of all the kids walk through, a predator can see that one diamond kid because he shines brighter than a star. And they know that. They can see it and they can feel it. And these kids can feel it too because I felt it. And you can't reach these kids by words and talking. That you have to reach them by emotions and feeling because they feel that more than anything than talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, that's excellent.
And this is the reason why we have this show, you know? That's exactly the reason why.
I have to be a huge part of all of it.
Well, that's great, Sheldon. Absolutely.
Yeah, I want to applaud you for calling into the show and sharing what you shared and the question that you had for Robert. I think that's really brave, and you're making some big steps.
Yes, because there's a predator still out there, and I need to take him down. And the statute of limitations is stopping me from doing that, which is fine. I've done this all myself in 2 weeks. I've waited 28 years to do this. This is my purpose. This is my life. I don't know if there's a higher power, but gosh darn it. I don't know what to believe anymore because the past 2 weeks have happened so easy and so fast. It's like my life was broken, and now it's all coming together right in front of my eyes.
Right.
That's great.
That's going to happen, man, you know, and you're taking the right steps. And actually by being on this show tonight and talking with Robert and actually giving your view, you know, as a person that has been through it, he's seen it, experienced it, you know, this is crucial that we have people like you on this show because of the education that comes behind it is extensive. I mean, this is where it has to begin, you know, by I hate to say it, but we were all used for examples what not to do in life, you know. But look what they did. They created us, right? You know, with Robert
yes.
doing what he's doing and being there, period, okay? That's the number one thing is that somebody has to be there for something, you know. They you just can't say that you're going to help somebody. Action is one thing when words are another to me, you know. And Sheldon, you know this, and Penelope knows this too, Robert, that I'm all about making sure things get done, okay? I don't like leaving things undone, which means a life to me, you know. Have you ever had people where you know that they need a lot more attention than others and were able to do that versus some others? You know, not to put a priority over one or another, but some people are very, very tender and emotional and everything that comes to this, where other ones are a little stronger, you know. And does that come into your life quite frequently?
For me, what came into my life was because, especially if it's sexual abuse, the pedophile has many stories to tell children to scare them. And the child has to not be afraid to talk. Your average pedophile, because I did a lot of research when I was putting this program together, has 50 or more children before they're ever caught. That's way too many.
Wow. Way too many.
You know, if somebody would have just spoken out and stopped this person, but they kept getting away with it.
Right.
You know.
Can I join in?
Say, you sure can. Yes. Yeah. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Okay. What I feel with my situation, it happened in an organization, and in the 90s, like the hearsay I've heard is that, you know, are you this person's touch buddy? Like kids were joking around about it, and I think people were just back in the 90s. They looked past it. They didn't really see anything wrong or something. I'm not sure, but I just feel that everybody in that place was okay with it, and everybody in the town was okay with it because this guy was a good mentor. You know, I love this guy, and he did a really good job at what he did, but he also did bad things in the process.
What I found is when the child would tell someone, they wouldn't really believe them because a lot of adults don't know how to deal with this. And so a lot of times the child would just give up, which caused a lot of scars for them later on.
But the thing is, everybody knew and everybody was okay with it here. it wasn't just like nobody was afraid to talk. Like it was just something that was okay. It was just part of that where I went. And that's what's really weird about it.
Yeah, that is unique because there should have been somebody, some child advocate that should have done something that put a stop to it. You know,
I think it just happened so long. It could have been from the 70s.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's the problem. And like I say, these pedophiles have to be stopped. You know,
yes.
And the only way to be stopped is if we know who they are.
I know exactly who this one is, and I'm going to stop this one. It's going to be huge, and I appreciate you guys letting me speak my story because this ain't going to be the last time you hear from me.
Please, Sheldon, we really do appreciate you calling in and sharing that. And I think, you know, I think the subject of just conduct, and you, one of your books really addresses that. There are a couple books, I mean, they all are amazing subjects that need to be addressed. The ones that particularly I felt a knot in my gut was Good Touch, Bad Touch, and then Don't Hide Abuse. Because I think that young children, if they are being groomed from a very young age too, the lines between Good Touch and Bad Touch may be very gray. And the abuse is hidden maybe because it's not even known, or it's evolved, as we know, with the grooming process, and it's evolved, and it's just, you know, it's been hidden. It's hidden by the nature of how it evolved. So, you know, obviously Sheldon's example is one more, with, it sounds like it was more overt abuse, but, you know, if a child is, you start in preschool, if they've been groomed before that age, they may not be aware of Good Touch, Bad Touch.
And
a bad touch is their normal.
Well, and that's true. And, you know, it's funny you bring that point up because when I was teaching Good Touch, Bad Touch, we would get a lot of those children, but I knew I was missing something. And that was when I had to tweak the programs and start with the Don't Hide Abuse, because although the scars are the same, the outcome is different on what happens. And so once I started with the Don't Hide Abuse, a lot more children started coming forward too. So it depends on the specific topic you're talking about to get the child to talk.
Mm-hmm. If children that approached you saying, I'm not allowed to talk about what happened?
No. What I did when I'd go into the classroom, I'd always go in for the Good Touch, Bad Touch, or the Don't Hide Abuse. I'd always bring the school counselor with me. And we would talk together with the class. Then I'd show a video, and a lot of times I would watch the children, and the really nervous ones the counselor would talk to later. And then, of course, there was a question and answer period afterwards. And so between those three things, we really curbed the Good Touch, Bad Touch in our county. It was hard. It was hard to teach that. I mean, because I had such involvement when my wife just kind of flaked out, and you know, luckily we could save her and things got good again, but that's when I realized, wow, this is a big secret that's got to be told.
Yes, the mind might want to forget, but the body never does, and it does come out
eventually. The mind doesn't forget. What happened with her was she just kept trying to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, after our second child, when the hormones were running rampant afterwards, that's when all this came out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't even the same person I had married till we got a lot of counseling, a lot of help, and that put her back to where she should have been.
I am so sorry she went through that.
Me
really
too.
Am.
Me too. And I wish I could have come years later. And like I said, that's when I said, I'm going to do something because I don't want somebody to have to go through 20 or 30 years later where I went through when it could have been stopped while it was happening and things could have been more resolved at the time.
Exactly. But there's nothing like having a supportive spouse. That really helps.
Oh, absolutely.
That really helps. And from her pain, unfortunately, you know, it wasn't addressed when she was of the age where she was sexually abused. But you have been a lot of younger kids that won't have to go through what she went through in not telling. You know,
thank goodness. And luckily I had very supportive. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go on.
Luckily I had very supportive counselors in the schools, and they would teach this with me, and they were always backing me 100%. And our sheriff was very instrumental because he told me when I uncovered something, I was not to be the deputy to do the report. So that was really a big help because what would have happened is here this person teaches me what to do, I do it, and then I see him arresting the person. That wouldn't have looked good. So luckily, like I say, we had a child advocate for a sheriff, and he was wonderful.
Well, and that definitely makes sense to go that course because you obviously want the best outcome when you get to that point.
Absolutely. You know, and a lot of times it is someone that the child lives with. You know, it's not always Uncle Harry, whoever comes over. Sometimes it's someone right in the house doing it.
Absolutely, Robert, it is. It could be anywhere.
For sure.
I just, you know, one of the things that struck me about just all of your books and for parents that are, you know, taking your books, taking advantage of your books, using your books, and teaching their books to your books, have you considered that you're also helping a lot of adult survivors?
I hope so. That's what I want. And I want the adult survivors to realize there are people out there that are trying to prevent this so the child doesn't have to go through the years they went through.
That's true. And, you know, as you know, there are times when adult survivors, you know, because the average age, and John and I were talking about this earlier, the average age, we hope, of course, it doesn't ever happen, but we know that it does. But the average age of someone actually speaking of their abuse, you know, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and actually starting the healing process is around the mid to late 40s, early 50s. We see some trends where maybe it's starting a little bit earlier, start eventually. But they haven't started until their mid-40s and their 50s. You know, a lot of the times, a lot of their maltreatment, and a lot of the maltreatment that I know you're addressing in your book, because that was their normal. It's what they consider normal. And by, you know, getting their hands on your books and reading it to their young children, I had my children when I was 30, you know, 30, 31. Had I had your book in hand and read to my child, it would have educated me because I didn't start my healing journey until my mid-40s, and I didn't realize until I was 48, I'm 51 now, I didn't realize that when my father put his hands down my pants and left them there, that wasn't normal. I was 48. Things in the context for them. It was someone looked at me when I had explained that. I didn't even realize that was grooming. And they just looked at me and they said, that's not normal. So that's what I mean by, have you considered that you're helping adult survivors of child abuse? Because sometimes you have to read something in a different context to understand that what you think is normal isn't.
That was kind of a secondary hope, but when you bring it out, I'm glad that it would help them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the scars that are left from this, and a lot of times what happens, I know when we get a pedophile, they were a pedophile because somebody was a pedophile to them. I mean, the system never got broke until law enforcement finally stepped in and, you know, things had to be put to a halt. Because unfortunately, you know, you're right. When he said it, the diamond star, whatever it is, they do know how to find the child that they can manipulate.
Yeah.
And you know, too, you bring up a really good topic. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. The only thing I was going to say is, and what I really do about my own, you know, history of what I thought was normal, this is something that, you know, when I, you know, John and I work with a lot of adult survivors, I hear this, I thought this was normal, I didn't realize it wasn't until I was in my 40s or 50s. That is very common. This is not, my story is not a one-off. And that's why I bring it up as well. This is very, very common.
Yes. You know, and it even started with the bullying. I would go to schools. I mean, I had taught school for years before I went into this DARE. And I'd go to schools and seeing these kids being bullied, and they didn't know what to do. And so that gave me the topic for a lot of the books. It's what's ever happening to you, it's not a secret to be kept. You know, it's like if you tell someone you're still sleeping with your teddy bear, that's okay. But being bullied or being sexually abused or abused physically is not a secret to be kept. You know, people have to know.
That's right. John, did you want to hear something to add? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, too, and that, you know, he's definitely been doing it long enough to see that transition between somebody at this time who was young back then and has grown, you know, into an adult by now, you know, so he's got to see a lot of that transition, you know, phase between maybe being, you know, some type of abused kid or anything, and then seeing them grow up to be adults now. Okay. So you think, you know, if you've been doing it for, say, 30 years, you working around 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, whatever, they should be around 40, you know, 42 at the most, something like that. Well, that's the age group that I'm really worried about, okay, because of what Penelope brought up about the average, okay, and that's a national or worldwide average is 52, but that's going to change. I think it's going to change dramatically, and I hate to say it, but there's a lot more people coming out that are within that 30 high to 40 range right now. And then you're going to have another wave of the people in their 30s and then the 20s, you know, because of the way that it was affected when they were young. You know, they developed the PTSD and anxiety and depression, and eventually, you know, they want to open up, you know, and then come forward. Well, now I'm starting to see that change, you know, thanks to you, Robert. I mean, this is what it's all about, you know, getting that early education in. But what I am seeing, and I'm going to get to my point over this, is that if it wasn't for people like you and NASCA and other organizations, you know, where would we be today versus even 5 years ago? You know, I see such a huge difference in the knowledge And the actual, and this is, I'm so happy to say it, the justice, okay, is finally starting to come around. You know, it's like they shut us out for so long, you know, but now they're starting to listen. Now they're starting to do. And, you know, so that's what I wanted to say, is that we have a lot more technology, a lot more, you know, people that are willing to stand up these days. And that's where we're working together all the way around this world, you know. So and then, you know, you're talking about, you know, arresting people and stuff like that. There is a very good chance that I have a chance to possibly read somebody that writes tomorrow, which I'm so happy about. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it takes. We've got to stop these people that are not thinking correctly and hurting our youth.
Yeah, you know, too, about that, too, is about, you know, you being involved at that age around schools and different things like that. You know, it's so crucial that these kids actually get the message. And I think one of the biggest things, and you said that, is for them to say something, you know. If, you know, and Penelope says her quote every time we have a show, you know, if they see something, to say something, you know. And that's one thing I think that the parents, if and or the grandparents, okay, because there's a lot of that going on these days between divorce and everything else, that they need to step up and make it a point. Don't you agree, Robert?
I agree. And mm-hmm. a lot of times these people, and it's sad to say because I'm religious too, but a lot of times these pedophiles will search out women in churches that have children, and they're not really after the woman. They're really after eventually somehow abusing the child.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a scary thing too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It's very scary.
Well, but it's also a fact that a lot of these perpetrators are predatory. And I think we have to just be mindful of that. While no one ever deserves to be hurt or abused, no matter what age, we have to also be on guard and aware. And the predatory nature of some of these occurrences is a reality. And we don't want to scare children, but we also have to educate them. I love the way you explain, Robert, in your book that you've actually, you know, designed the dialogue and the verbiage to be educational and not intimidating, which I think is really important.
Yeah, my books are roughly 32 pages each. And it takes hours to write these books to get them so that the child won't be scared. Or I was lucky, I have an autistic son. And if he could read them and understand them and have no questions, I knew they were ready to be published.
You had an in-home control group.
Say that again, please.
Yeah, you had an in-home control group. So you had a study group at home, and they passed, right? And which is, I think, is really, that's great. That's great that you tested it, you know, and made sure that it was going to be, you know, well-received as well, I you know, obviously. But I think that's that is a really good test.
Well, the programs were all dynamic, and they were easy to teach. But to write it down so it wouldn't be scary or intimidating, that was the secret.
Robert, I had a question.
No, go on. Yeah, go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a real quick question. I think it's pretty important because you see this a lot in schools. You know, and I've experienced it, you know, through my years of being around in school, and also was and taught in schools a lot, coached and everything else. What about these? And I would classify a lot of them as bullies. A lot of times you see the younger, you know, boys saying something toward girls, like, boy, does she look good, or I sure would like to do something to her without using any vulgarity. And that gets back, you know, to, say, the parents, okay? What do you think they should do in times of those crises?
Especially if it gets back to the parents. The parents should talk to the parents of the bully, because, and a lot of times that didn't work because the child who was the bully was being bullied by someone in their house.
Right.
What
exactly
out to be the is most states, every state has laws against bullying, and you can always mm-hmm. turn it over to law enforcement. And that certainly puts yep. the highlight on the bully and things quiet way down after that.
Yep. Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Thanks for answering that. Yes.
That is a really good point. That's a really good point. Regarding, I didn't pay as close attention to Nevada, but I know in California and in Washington that our children didn't go back to school for over a year, almost a year and a half, because of COVID. So I'm curious as to how, did you educate online or what happened with your program during COVID?
Since I've retired, I don't get to go into the schools anymore, so it really mm-hmm. didn't influence the programs that way. I still go to Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts or Girl Scouts once in a while,
okay.
but it's not near as dynamic as it used to be. I mean, I used to be teaching all the time, and a lot of times after school at latchkey classes and you know, it was much more popular back when I was in law enforcement.
So has someone come over for you?
That's why the book, because especially with the Stranger Danger, it became such a successful program. I knew I couldn't be everywhere, but I knew the books could. And so that's what's great about them.
Mm-hmm. Someone taken over what you used to do in the schools, or because that program seems like it was so well received and it was so there's a consistency in terms of you know how often you're going in every year. I'm just curious if the schools have kept that program, wanting that program in the school, or if that's just not happening.
Yeah, no, it's not happening. As a matter of fact, once this dynamic sheriff that was such a child advocate wasn't a sheriff anymore, we got a new sheriff, and he told me I could only teach Great and Dare, and I couldn't teach my children's safety programs anymore, and so that's when I went back to teaching. And unfortunately, when I resigned and left the DARE program, the only thing that was left in our schools was the GREAT program. They never replaced me with another DARE officer, which was sad.
Yeah, because that is sad. I was really hopeful that it was trending in the other direction. I know where I live, I live in Bellevue, 20 minutes outside Seattle. Our school district is very behind in this subject matter at all grade levels, starting with kindergarten. And that's just infuriating to me. We need to be so much more progressive with this. And what you've done, what you've done in the state of Nevada, albeit they're not continuing the program anymore, that is what it should be. The curriculum should offer that. That should be the standard, at a minimum.
Absolutely. I agree. These are life skills. Unfortunately, and I was a teacher and an educator, but the teachers are under such stress to teach everything they have to teach. There probably isn't even time for these programs anymore. You know, I was lucky. I did it at a time when the teacher could put it into their schedule. where now they've got so many guidelines to hit every day on what they have to teach, I'm not sure there would be time for these programs, and yet they're needed because they are the life skills.
Now they're needed because these children, a lot of them have been home for so long, and for me, and I know for other kids or other adults that used to say, you know, sometimes our safest place is at school when you're quarantined at home. So, you know, the education on good touch, bad touch, don't hide abuse. And even suicide prevention, we know that the suicide rates, unfortunately, went up significantly with COVID. And this is, I think it's needed now more than ever.
Oh, I agree. And school, for many of these children that are being abused in one way or another, school is their safe place. It's when they're out of school. Sometimes it's not safe for them. And so, yeah, in Nevada closed down for a long time, too, with the COVID. That wasn't a good thing.
No, not at all. So, John, I didn't know if you had another, you know, question or comment while we're on the subject with Robert.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just going on, too, and I'm looking at a lot of the presentation stuff that you do, Robert. And, you know, everything that I'm looking at, and I'm just going to read through some of these real quick because I know, like you said, there's never really enough time for us to get everything out. But you did highlight a lot of topics. And, you know, I'm just going to go through these because we're touching on every one of these, and especially this time of year with being Halloween. But, you know, on some of his topics that he has listed, there's too safe for strangers, good touch, bad touch, too smart for bullies, alone at home, my parents are getting divorced, it's not my fault, bicycle safety, monster tips for a happy Halloween, say no to gangs, too wise for drugs, gun safety, my father isn't here anymore, say yes to God, special needs children, don't hide abuse, and too solid for suicide, okay, which is something I think that I wanted to just touch on real quick. And I don't know if you all just received your notice, but now we have to enter the area codes for all phone calls now. Did you all get that to your
any
phone
had
that
your
you dialed? I just got that. And with the reason for that is because it's a suicide prevention line that's involved with that, which I was in shock to see because I didn't realize that was coming. But it just does touch on about everything that I just read to you, you know, because each and every one of those categories can go to that extreme, unfortunately. And, you know, with people, you know, that is needed so crucial that Robert, you know, is and does, I can't see, you know, this ever coming to an end. It can't come to an end because it's only going to get worse if we don't, you know, take it and do something about it. So, Robert, you know, with all of those things that I listed to you, you know, and this is coming straight from you, that, you know, what do you think is probably your most challenging areas in what I've just, you know, told on your topics?
My most challenging areas, I think, were the good touch, bad touch, and the too solid for suicide. I wrote with a counselor and a doctor in psychology. And that was hard because one of my saves from he was an attempt and he got away, but he had such a bizarre home life that later on when he was in high school, he took his life. And that's when I wrote the Too Solid for Suicides. It was with him in mind. And when they're looking at that, they need to look at the signs of what's going on. I mean, children will start not caring about what they look like or how clean they are. They'll start giving their stuff away. They'll be very distant. And people overlook those signs, and they need to be
right.
more in the front so they're alerted to what's going on. You know, this child is very depressed.
Mm-hmm.
The program,
I agree with that. 100%.
The program
yeah.
mm-hmm. the biggest. The program with the biggest success was the Stranger Danger, because the town I live in, every way out is a highway. I mean, it could be a long time before someone knew their child was missing. And in 1 year, just in our town, we had 9 attempts, and that wasn't even the whole county. And like I say, the Stranger Danger that we know of in my county foiled more than 44 attempts. And again, most of them go unreported. So all of these issues are very important, and they all need to be brought to the front line. And parents do need to have better rapport with their children. And it's tough in this day and age, you know. Parents work mm-hmm. long hours. Sometimes it's a single mm-hmm. parent, and they're just exhausted when they get home. But you need to take time to talk to your child and know what's going on.
Right. And I noticed, you know, you mentioned the 44, you know, and what I was reading up on was that you had actually saved, what am I getting the numbers correct, about 9 or 10 from actually being abducted. Is that true?
All 44 were attempts that were
uh-huh.
foiled by the program.
Okay.
My scariest one was the first one. It was a snowy day the next day after I'd taught those 3 or 4 classes, and he rode up to 3 children on his horse. It was at their bus stop, and said, "Hey, kids, school's been canceled. One of you get on my horse and I'll give you a ride home." That would have been hard for me to say no to. I love horses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those children did really well. And that's when I knew, when the sheriff gave me the green flag to go ahead, I had to get tips that were in any situation would always be foolproof.
Mm-hmm. Can you share a few of those tips with us?
Pardon?
Can you share a few of those tips with us?
Sure. I mean, the main one for the Stranger Danger, is that what we're talking?
Yes.
Yeah. The main one, of course, is, I already did share, strangers need nothing from children, and that's where the red flag should come up. And a bad stranger will usually approach a child when they're by themselves. So try not to be by yourself. But if someone starts asking you things, don't even talk to them. You're not being rude. You're being safe. And, of course, say no, run away, and tell. Because then law enforcement can be alerted and go try to find the person.
Right, and a lot of times, Robert, don't you think that it being around school and around gym, you know, playgrounds and things like that, that it takes somebody to recognize that something just ain't right, you know, with their personality, with their isolation, you know, with their friends, you know, just the way that they carry themselves. You know, how crucial do you think it is to recognize that?
The big key here is for if the child tells you a story, to listen to it, you know, to really
yes.
listen, not to be reading the paper and saying, because the child will stop telling people, and they can't, because it needs to be known.
Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's a shame, too, me talking about that is, you know, we only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to get this out there before, is that, you know, people think that when they send their kids to school and to, you know, playgrounds and to practice and you know, it could be gym, cheer, you know, gymnastics, whatever it may be. And as parents, we're relying on this place to be a safe place, you know. The same thing with like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and everything else. Well, you know, things are definitely changing there. There's no question about it. But unfortunately, and like in my case and another few cases that I know of, you know, that did happen at school for me, okay? And it did happen at the Boy Scouts for one of my good friends. And, you know, in the places that they thought were going to be a safe place, and so did the parents. You know, but unfortunately, you know, some of us had walked in to a situation where they were in their, you know, environment, and we happened to walk in into a predator's world, you know, without knowing. You know, so with, you know, with that being said, you know, what do you think has changed, if anything, in those areas over the past, I'd say probably 4 to 5, 6, 8 years, maybe, considering where it was, say, 40 years ago? Have you seen a huge difference?
The thing about those topics now is they're more open, where 40, 50 years ago, if something happened, it was usually hush-hush and not to be talked
about.
Where I think the trait is now to tell and to be vocal and to make people aware of what's going on. And I think that's been a big help. You know, that's the main thing. I mean, most school districts, at least now, when I started my bullying program, it was one of the very first in the nation. Now most school districts have a yearly bully program going on. So, it's become more aware. And again, not a secret to be kept, you know, tell.
Right. Yeah, thank you very much, Robert.
Well, thank you.
So, Robert, I'm curious. Oh, go on, please.
Oh, I thought it was over. I was just going to thank you, and if you ever want me again, I'd be more than happy. And
absolutely.
Tell the people.
We actually have about 20 more minutes. So we're okay on time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Tell them they can get the books at bobbyandmandy.com if they're interested in any of the books. And again, the books are written for everybody, you know, whether it be the child reading it by themselves, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, babysitters, whoever. They're for everybody, and they're very easy to understand. And the questions and answers at the end always help, too.
Yeah, I think that's very impactful. I like the question and answer in the back. It's kind of a good review point as well. And if parents don't know how to, you know, do a Q&A, it's right there for them. Because sometimes we know, right? Sometimes it's better if it's written in a book and we're not initiating it as parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and exactly. And as parents, if I wouldn't have started a whole program, I don't really know how I would have approached that subject with my children. You know, it's one of those taboo subjects where they say, well, don't talk to strangers, and they let it go with that. Well, the child doesn't really understand who a stranger is. So that has to be shown, because we're going to meet a lot of people, and most strangers don't want to hurt us. But if you ever meet a bad stranger, one that wants to take you, you have to know what to do and where it might happen. And again, not respond to whatever their request is. And some of them are real heartbreakers. You know, I lost my daughter. Here's a picture of her. Would you help me find her? I mean, people want to help people. It's just human nature.
Well, and I also think that it's good for information for kids, because I think kids, you know, nowadays, our younger are getting their hands on electronics. And our kids are pretty adept at figuring out how to get onto media. And, you know, we know that there are a lot of sex predators, a lot of predators on social media. And they shouldn't speak to anybody that they don't know. And they need to be aware of the fact that sometimes we'll compose as people who they are not. Like an older person can pose as a younger person. So I think, you know, don't say yes to anybody reaching you on the internet either. And I think some of these young kids, unfortunately, I'm seeing it more and more, are on phones or on iPads or are, you know, having access to social media and all these different, you know, avenues younger and younger.
Absolutely. I think one of the big keys to that is parents sometimes want to give their children too much privacy. And I think the computer is one of those things that needs to be where the parents can see what they're doing and kind of monitor instead of having the child in their room doing whatever. I think that's
right.
Where a lot of children get in trouble. And you're
yeah,
right.
I
could be anybody. I could be a 10-year-old girl on the computer. I could be a 90-year-old man. You know, you are what you make yourself. And again, they have a lot of time to think of the bad tricks, how to lure somebody.
Yep. They can. And I think what kids need to understand is just because it's on the computer doesn't mean it's not dangerous. Stick with the rule of, you know, anybody that's hard
yeah.
for you to be your friend on the internet is someone you don't know, is someone you don't know, even if they're posing as someone younger.
Exactly.
Well, that's where I think that the monitoring, you know, from the parents and regulating them on, you know, the time spent too, you know, because if they're supposed to be doing what they're supposed to be doing, then that's one thing. Because nowadays, you know, I don't know about, you know, you all, but here, my daughter is 10, and if she comes home with her Chromebook and, you know, she's on that computer like all the time, but a lot of it is work related, but a lot of it isn't, you know. So I do have to, you know, and thank God my wife is great at that. Well, I'm not as good at that, even though I do child protection work every day of my life. That area, it does scare me. There's no question about it, you know, but thank God that I have a daughter that is smart enough to recognize, you know, something, you know, that's not right, you know. But unfortunately, there's a lot of them out there that are too susceptible to, you know, being, you know, groomed into, you know, a situation. It's too easy.
Exactly. And you just said it. A lot of times, you know, parents are doing other things and not totally watching what the child is doing. So they have free rein to do whatever they want on the computer. And that's, again, why it shouldn't be in such a hidden place. It should be out in the open mm-hmm. where people see what's going on.
Right.
I'm thinking that we might need to see a book from you on this. Because I'm not, you don't have a book on that yet, do you, Robert?
I started writing a book several times on it, but then so many other people wrote a book. But I'm still working on it, but I'm more interested right now in getting the word out to everybody and having these take off. I would love nothing better than to just keep writing children's safety program books and getting them out there. But it's hard because
mm-hmm.
people... As you know, it's like the news. What sells in the news? The bad news, evil things. The good things
right.
kind of looked over.
Well,
yeah. Well,
exactly.
one of the good things that I'm seeing here on your side of things is can you, and I was reading up on it, but can you tell us a little bit about the Bobby and Mandy thing with along with the candy story real quick?
Well, what do you mean in the book itself?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. They they have a lot of times to think of the perfect ploy to get a child to go with them. And again, that's where children have to realize strangers need nothing from children, you know, and that's where the child has to realize it. They should be offering the candy to adults. They should be asking where their child is for adults, their lost puppy, or whatever they're offering shouldn't be offered to a child. Strangers need to talk to grown-ups, not children. That's one of the big points of the program and the book.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good thing to bring up. You know, even as a baseball coach, and I have been for many years, is that, you know, if there was a situation where, you know, maybe we were away from practice on the side of the field, or, you know, I always talk to the kid with the parents at the same time. You know, unless he's on the field and I'm coaching the whole team, yeah, when it comes to that, I believe that there's a certain way, you know, that you need to, you know, introduce a question or something like that. And then by going around the parents is the right way to do it. I agree 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, you know, and I know I repeat myself, but that is one of the big tips, you know, to instill in your child, strangers need to talk to grownups. You know, they don't need anything from children.
Well, I always remember defining with my children, who is a stranger? And they would say, a stranger is someone we don't know. That's correct. A stranger is someone you don't know. A stranger is not someone that says, you don't know me, but your mom knows me, so it's okay.
Well,
that's no.
Right.
There's no. I would never do that, you know. I would never send someone to pick you up that you did not know, and I would tell you what was going on.
Right, and also the password, still very important. If, you know, strangers are people you don't know or your parents don't know, but if someone you've seen kind of with your parents and they have to come pick you up, they should have the password. You know, which is a secret word, which is to be used in emergency situations only, and it's only known between you and your parents. You don't share it with all your friends.
Good point.
The one I used in the book was, The one I used in the book was Fred Flintstone as my example. Yes, something that could only be used in an emergency. Your mother's running late. You know me. I work with her, and she said for me to pick you up. And she said your secret password is Fred Flintstone. And once that password is used, you change it. Don't keep the same word.
Or gosh, I just learned that.
That's a really good thing to have. Again, it's just a secret word between you and your children. Well, whatever. Can be a great aunt, could be a great uncle, could be whatever you come up with, could be a made-up word, but something that a stranger wouldn't know.
It's absolutely great. It really is. And I did want to ask you one more thing, too. I really like the education that you're but you're actually bringing it in different areas where they can relate. Like you said earlier, you know, you had a son that was autistic, and, you know, if he could read it, then all, you know, a lot of kids could. But I also see that you had some other things here, like you had a question and answer quiz, you know, and some coloring and stuff like that. So, you know, you're definitely touching it from a lot of different areas, you know, depending on which way the child is going to react to it. Some kids like to color, some don't. Some like to answer questions, some don't, you know. So I like the way that you're presenting that to, you know, different ways, actually. That's really good. I think that's valuable.
Well, and it's very valuable because some kids learn only kinesthetically, and that's where the questions and answer come in, because if they can give you the answer, you knew they knew what they were listening to. You know, some kids are just auditory. They just listen, period. Some kids are more visual, and they can read it. So the books hit all three learning aspects, too.
And I think that's important because kids all do learn differently or retain information differently. And I think the more interactive you can have, the better.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with any other organizations such as Darkness to Light? Because I know they work with kids directly on prevention.
No, I've worked mainly with, like I say, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Boys and Girls Club, YMCA, the major organizations. And that was the nice thing because my sheriff was very flexible, and he would let me take it to other counties where they would ask for this program. So that helped a lot, too. And, of course, training other officers statewide helped a lot, too.
Absolutely. There's only one of you, though, and there's a lot of people that want the information or that need the information, and you can only be spread so thin.
Yeah, that's right, and that's the great thing about the books. They can be everywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, as far as I know, they're from the one publisher, they're definitely worldwide. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you. And the fun part, the two main characters are my children. It's Bobby and Mandy, and that is my children.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is wonderful. And what, you know,
yeah,
what a way to get involved, right? And they'll be reading that book to their day, right?
I hope so. I hope they're around for a long, long time. We tried to make a video once, but unfortunately the person that was doing the video got very, very sick and couldn't finish the project with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those videos would actually be excellent, absolutely excellent. You know, especially yeah. Because there's just, you know, the streaming possibilities today and YouTube, and it's just, you know, they're so accessible.
Exactly. And again.
No, go on. I'm sorry. I can wait. My question can wait.
Some of my subjects are kind of taboo, and most people really just don't know how to approach them. So if the book wasn't enough, a video would be the answer.
Yes, exactly. Especially in the video, especially if it's done in an animation, it's a little bit less intimidating. Like your books are animated, they appear animated. I think it's a little bit less intimidating.
Exactly. When I first started the program, I don't even know if you can get it anymore. It was a Winnie the Pooh, and it was I think it was called Too Smart for Strangers. And that touched on three of the subjects I taught, which was stranger danger, alone at home, and good touch, bad touch. And it was Winnie and Eeyore and Tigger and Piglet. And they did a great job making that video. But unfortunately, I needed something older for the older children, you know, third grade on up. As a matter of fact, I have to tell you a cute story. One year I was walking into a DARE class to set up the schedule with a teacher, and this this fifth grader came up to me and she goes, "We want to watch Winnie the Pooh." And I go, "I'm sorry, I don't show Winnie the Pooh to fifth graders." She goes, "We want to watch Winnie the Pooh." And I go, "Joanna, you're not listening to me. I don't show Winnie the Pooh to fifth graders." She goes, "Deputy Khan, you're not listening to me. We want to watch Winnie the Pooh." So I said, "Okay, I'll come here like on a Wednesday morning. I will show the video. I will set up the dare schedule with your teacher, and I will leave." And so I did. And when I got there, that Joanna not only had her class to watch it, she had another class to watch it. And I did exactly what I said. I showed the video, and I left. Later that day, I got a call from a deputy in that town, and he said, "We just had an attempt here. It was a little girl from California. She had never had a stranger danger class, and she said she wouldn't have known what to do if it hadn't been for that Winnie the Pooh tape."
Wow. That is powerful.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That probably saved the life right there.
Heavens, and I go, "Okay, God, I get the clue," you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a waking dream.
And
that feeling,
that's the best feeling in the world. It really is, to know that you had the impact and that they listened. You know, that's the main thing. And I tell you, that's one of the most beautiful stories I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, it scared me. Because, you know, if I would have given in to Joanna, that little girl might have got taken.
That's right.
It was a scary one.
And I know we only have a couple of minutes left, and I'll let Penelope get back to you. But I did want to tell you, it was really nice to meet you, Robert. I hope that we can meet in person one day under really good circumstances. But if we have to meet under other circumstances, well, we're going to get it done. Okay?
Well, that would be awesome.
It was a pleasure.
Together, yep. we would combat whatever we were faced with. I would like
that's
that
right.
too.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So. Thank you, Robert.
Well, thank you.
Only have 60 seconds left. So please tell our listeners again how to get a hold of your book.
Okay, it's on the web, and it's www.bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, and Mandy. mandee.com, and all 8 books are on there. And if someone wants to contact me, they can. On the very last page of my website is a contact if you have a question for me.
Perfect. Thank you so much. The holidays are coming up. If you're looking for that gift idea, this is an invaluable. This would be an invaluable present. I would highly recommend that you look into this and get your children these books to give to their children or to read to their children. So I wish to thank you, Robert Khan. This has been an amazing show. So informational. I learned a lot. I believe my co-host can say the same, John. And John, I wish to thank you for being on my host
thank
team
you.
This evening. There are enough adult eyes in this world to keep all of our children safe. It is our responsibility. If you see something, you must say something. Thank you from NASCA, and good night.
Good night, and thank you, and
good night.
Tomorrow, 'cause that's gone.